Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Maintaining trust in God's provision is vital when we undergo the tests of famine and deprivation. Some fail the tests and do end runs around God's intended pathway. Today, what to remember in times of crisis. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In this, the second of seven messages, we're learning the life-changing lessons taught in Genesis 12, trusting God when the wells are dry.
Some of you, and you know who you are, you have become so cynical in your walk with God. There's no longer really warm fellowship because you feel that God wasn't there for you. And you say to yourself, I'm in a mess, I've made it, and God's not helping me in it. If you're a believer, God is with you there. He is for you. He's rooting for you. But he wants you to come back into fellowship. He wants you to say that I've strayed long enough. I've done my own thing long enough. I want to come back because it is better. It is better to have a dry well in Canaan than it is the lush pasture land of Egypt. It is better to have a dry well than a poisoned oasis. And so the Lord says, return to me, believe me, and trust me. There's a final lesson, and it really is the bottom line of everything. Every famine we go through, every famine is a test of our trust. Now, of course, when I speak about famines in the next message, I'm going to talk about the need for us as a community to walk through famine. But for now, I'm talking about us as individuals. It is always, always a test. We have to just stand back of this passage and think about it again. We should never get tired about thinking about the scriptures and meditating on it. Why did Abraham say, if we go down into Egypt, they may kill me? What do you mean, they may kill me? Was there any chance in the world that Abraham could die in Egypt and be killed? Of course not. Why? Well, it's because God just plainly told him, I'm giving you this land and I'm giving it to your descendants. He didn't have any descendants at that point. How could the promise of God possibly be fulfilled if the Egyptians had killed him? Even if Abraham had said, I'm going down to Egypt, he should have simply said, I'm going down, we're going to tell the truth. My life is in God's hands, it's not in Pharaoh's hands. God gave me a promise that someday through my seed, this land would be populated, and that's good enough for me. My life in God is secure. It's very interesting that in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, you know what the Apostle Paul says? He says that when God said to Abraham, in thy seed the nations of the earth shall be blessed, he actually said that Abraham believed the gospel. He said the gospel was preached to Abraham. We look at the text and we say, boy, there's no gospel here, nothing about Jesus dying for our sins. No, all that will eventually come to pass, but inherent within the promise that in thy seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed, within that promise there was entailed the coming of Jesus the Redeemer. Wow. You know what the bottom line was? Abraham experienced a crisis of faith. He could not trust God to continue. To lead there, yes, but beyond that, he couldn't grasp it. and he failed. Every famine is a test. Can we trust God no matter whether it's a famine we've created or one created for us? Can we trust him? That's always the issue. Some time ago when I landed at O'Hare Field, the plane that I was on stopped at a gate that was very far from baggage claim. Shortly after I got off the plane, I found myself in step with a young mother. I want to describe her to you. She had a baby in one arm. She was pulling her suitcase with the other hand. And she had a little toddler, perhaps three, trying to keep up with her, going ahead and behind, as little toddlers do. And I had a free hand. So I said to her, would you let me pull your suitcase? I have only one briefcase. I'd be glad to. She said, no, she says, I can handle it. I said, I promise I will stay in step with you wherever you are going. Just let me pull it for you. No, I'll take care of it. Later on, as I meditated on that, I realized that she was just obeying a little bit of common sense and wisdom. You just don't trust a man you've never met before. Fact is, I could have taken that suitcase and in 10 steps or less been in the crowd and disappear, and then what was she to do? But I thought to myself how different that all would have ended if she had known me. If she'd been a member of Moody Church or an attender, if she knew me, and I'd have said, may I pull your suitcase for you? May I take it? And she probably would have said, well, sure, here's my suitcase. And by the way, here's the baby, too. And then I thought about how Jesus walks with us in life. How we are carrying our suitcases and trying to manage and trying to manipulate and trying to control. And some of that all may not be wrong. But at the end of the day, Jesus said, don't you see that I'm beside you? Why don't you let me carry your baggage? Instead of just praying all the time, frazzled prayers that have no faith. Oh God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Nothing wrong with that. Peter prayed in desperation and said, help me, I perish. And it worked for him. But I think, and here of course I'm just using my imagination, I think that in heaven all of the angels are processing these prayers and taking a lot of them and just throwing them in the wastebasket. Because what they're saying is, Father, they keep asking you for help, but one thing they will not do, and that is trust. They will not take their sin and their failure and their concern and their deserts and their famines and just turn them over to me. Doesn't mean it's an immediate answer. But you are walking with somebody beside you whom, if you knew his heart, and I know I desire to know his heart and wouldn't claim that I know his heart completely in any way, he'd say, let me carry it for you. I've not abandoned you. I'm walking in your direction, and if you're going the wrong direction, I'll even lead you in the right direction. But today, could we tell Jesus that we give him our suitcase? Maybe a relational issue, maybe a financial issue, could be a health issue. The Bible does say, cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. He really cares for you and knows the famine that you're going through, knows how it's going to end. And knows your part in it. Today at the Moody Church, we're going to have the privilege of singing in just a moment. And when that happens, prayer partners are going to step out of the aisles. I'm told we have about 27 different places in this sanctuary where you can find a prayer partner. If you're in the balcony, you go up the stairs. They'll be at the top of the stairs in the rotunda area. What I want you to do is to ask this prayer partner, and you don't even have to ask them because they are ready, to simply take your request in a single sentence and commit it to God and trust Him to do it. Now, that's not the end of it. What I want you to do this morning, I would like you to do every day of your life, as I try to do. We always live in surrender, not just prayer, though thank God for prayer, but in submission to God. Because what we'd like to see here at the Moody Church is to see God answer so many prayers, because they are prayers made in faith and commitment, because He really does care for you. He really does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the story of Abraham, and even in his failure, we see ourselves. Now restore your people, Lord. There are people going through times of very great famine. Some can't pay their bills. Other people are going through times of stress, questioning your will, not knowing where you want them. Lord, every person, everyone, including the one on this platform, is all filled with questions, concerns, burdens. Today, in faith, we give them to you. Help your people to connect, to be willing to share, that we might see your glory in this place. And for those who've never trusted Christ as Savior, may they lay their burden down and receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you've just heard the conclusion of a message that I preached here at the Moody Church, titled Trusting God When the Wells Are Dry. Next time on Running to Win, I'm going to be speaking on empty stomachs, empty arms, and you will want to listen. But as I conclude today, I want to simply share with you the burden that I shared here with the congregation. I hope that you have someone with whom you can pray, someone with whom you can share your requests. This is so biblical. There are times when we are going through distress that is so great that we can't really bear it alone. And we're thankful for Jesus who bears it, but we also need the body of Jesus Christ. Maybe you could pick up the telephone and call a friend in whom you have confidence. Share your need. Pray over the phone. Wherever you are, let us unite together as believers and face the future together. And stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given some information that will help you to know how these messages can be yours. Thanks for your financial support, for your prayers, and be sure to listen next time right here on Running to Win.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Trusting God When the Wells Are Dry, the second of seven messages on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Next time on Running to Win, the amazing story of two women facing empty stomachs, empty arms. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.